Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the message today. There is so much work to be done. And Lord, I just thank you that you give us, each of us, a heart and a vision for the mission you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's the title of the message this morning. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. And time is running out. And I believe the Lord is asking many within his church today, why are you standing around? Matthew 21 through 7 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. And about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. And he said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.'" This is a parable that the Lord shared with his disciples. Because the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. And the scripture says Jesus went from city to city teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw crowds of hurting people, he had compassion on them because they were like they were harassed and helpless without a shepherd. And that's when he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And as we look at the world around us, we see the depravity of man. We see how sin has overtaken people. And how they want to do their own thing and they want to totally disregard God. I don't know if you have heard or seen, but in California, they're trying to pass a bill that states that any book that talks against LGBTQ population will be banned. So tell me which book that includes. The other law they're trying to pass right now in California is that if a child wants to transition to another sex, you will not be able to counsel them to do otherwise. The depravity of man. We see it all around us. The harvest is ripe. People are desperate for something. They're grasping at everything that is contrary to God's law. We really have a culture that is ignorant of the Bible. But you have so much. God has given us so much. Every single person sitting here, everyone connected to the river of life, everyone that goes to church, you have so much. What are we doing with it? When we started our church, over almost 27 years ago, August 18th is actually our anniversary Sunday, our anniversary date. The Lord told Apostle Leonard, start the church with 10 weeks of outreach. So before we opened our doors downtown, we had bought a theater. And before we opened the doors downtown, we put a team together and we went out. And the Lord gave us a specific location to go to. And some people said, "You're crazy to go into that location. They carry people out in body bags from that location. Shots are fired during the day. People can't even sit out on their front porch." But the Lord said, go into that territory and share the good news of the gospel. And so we prayer walked that territory for 6 weeks before we actually went in and began knocking on doors and handing out flyers. And people were street pastors. And there were two people assigned to every street that we were covering. And they'd go door to door every week, talk to the family. How are the kids? What can we pray for? What are your needs? And then on a Saturday morning, we had Sidewalk Sunday School called Love in Action down in the neighborhood. And the Lord showed up and people showed up. You know, other people criticized us and said, why are you going in there? There's not even that many kids in that area. Well, at our first program, we had over 75 children show up and their parents were around the fence. There are children everywhere. Sometimes they don't come out of their houses because it's not safe. But we would go around and we'd gather the children and bring them to the park for our Love in Action. And we saw God do miraculous things. Every week, God would do miracles. I think so many people got jobs. We got known as a church that if you just went and asked for them to pray for you for a job, the job would open up the next week. And people were so excited. People were healed. There was a grandmother that couldn't get up, couldn't walk. And her kids came to the program one Saturday morning. I said, where's your grandma? And they said, oh, she can't walk. And so we sent a team down. The team prayed for them. God healed her. She came down the next week to testify. And this is what happens out in the street. You want to see miracles? You want to see Jesus move? You got to get out of the church. We're not called to be pew sitters. We're called to take the gospel. And the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. Will you answer the call? I want to share a story that was submitted by a man named Kenneth Cole. And this is his story, and this is a true story. One day, Hudson Taylor was traveling on a Chinese junk ship from Shanghai to Ningpo. He had been witnessing to a man named Peter who rejected the gospel but was under deep conviction. In the course of events, Peter fell overboard, but no one made any effort to save him. Taylor sprang to the mast and let down the sail and jumped overboard in hopes of finding his friend. But no one on board joined Taylor in his frantic search. Taylor saw a fishing boat nearby and yelled to them to help, but they wouldn't do it without money. And finally, after bartering for every penny that Taylor had, the fishermen stopped their fishing and began to look for Peter. In less than a minute of dragging their net, they found him, but it was too late. They were too busy fishing to care about saving a drowning man. We can easily condemn the selfish indifference of those fishermen, but by indicting them, we may condemn ourselves. Are we too busy with our jobs and other activities to take the time to rescue those who are perishing without Christ? Jesus is asking the church today, why are you standing around? There's work to be done. You know, Jesus Christ was busy about the work of the kingdom. John 9:4, he said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because the night is coming when no one can work. We have an assignment. We join God in the work that he is doing. Individually, we do that on the job. We do that out of the marketplace. We need to be aware of our surroundings. When Jesus was talking about the harvest is ripe, he was trying to make his disciples aware of what was going on around them, that they would engage with the culture and realize the need to take the good news of the gospel to people who were perishing because they did not have Jesus Christ. Each one of you are a voice. Say, I am a voice. You are a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us a voice to be able to communicate and to share the good news of the gospel. over and over. It never gets old. Hallelujah. The Great Commission. Let me share one more verse. Jesus called you and me to join him in his work. John 20:21 says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So God has called every believer to work through the church in the world. Say, God's called me. The Great Commission of the Church, Matthew 28:16-20. We've read it many times. We're going to read it again. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commissioned you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Jesus is the heart of the gospel. And so let's talk about what is the mission of the church. Number one, it's to preach the cross. In pulpits all across this nation today, there are messages being delivered in the name of the gospel that will focus on everything but the gospel. Social justice is not the gospel. Political debate is not the gospel. Jesus is the heart of the gospel. And we are to preach the cross. In John 12:32, let's read it together. If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Let's read it again. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. In this message, Jesus communicated that the message of the cross would be the draw for the lost. The message of the cross. We're to live a life that is centered around the cross of Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel, of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. It is a simple message, but it is the main thing, and we have to learn to keep the main thing the main thing. It's all about Jesus. It's not about your gifts. It's not about your talents. It's not about how well you can prophesy. It's not about that. It is about the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I am high and lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. He's not going to draw people to your gift. That is not what's going to save people. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross that is going to heal, deliver, and set people free. Thank you, Lord. You know, preaching is not just standing behind a pulpit, but preaching is through example. What would your neighbors say about your walk with God? What do your fellow employees say about your walk with God? What do people say about you? Do they know that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they know that he's your top priority? Number one was preach the cross. Number two, the mission of the church is to win the lost. Luke 14:23 says, go ye into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. The highways and byways are wherever the lost are. And that was what the Lord spoke to Leonard. Go into the highways and byways. He's out in the highways and byways every day, compelling people to come to Jesus Christ. We are not willing that one soul would perish. Wherever people are lost, that's where we're to go. And we're going to talk about this parable that Jesus shared with his disciples. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are made ready. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. You know, you will always be able to find an excuse for not doing the Lord's work. You'll always be able to find an excuse for not coming to church, for not attending the service. There's always a list of excuses. Come on. Am I talking to the right group? You can easily make an excuse why you do not have time today to come. And for the people who are not here, they consistently do not come because they choose not to come. They are making their own choice, but the Lord is recording it in heaven because the Lord said, resist not the assembling of the saints. God has a mission for us. He has a work for us to do. But believe me, they're the first to call the church when they have a need. Hallelujah. And the church graciously serves them, but you should be serving the Lord. We don't live for just the benefits of what other people can do for us. We live because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, whether we get any recognition, whether we get any reward, whether we get any pay for it. It is not about that. It is about taking the good news of the gospel to people who are dying. They are desperate. Don't believe the lies of the enemy when he tells you they are not. You'll see someone, you'll become aware of something because we are spiritual people. We can pick up on those things. They can too, by the way. They'll pick up on your attitudes. They'll pick up on your attitudes. You're not in their life to fix them. You are in their life to introduce Jesus to them. Let Jesus be high and lifted up. If they never remember your name, it doesn't even matter. What matters is that you spoke the words and you were the voice of Jesus Christ in someone's life who was in crisis, who needed some help. You know, we have been programmed by our culture just to walk away from situations and just leave it alone because it's none of our business. Is that right? Is that the truth? I mean, I've watched that happen over the last 15 years. It's like, just leave that alone. Don't say anything. Don't get involved. Is that true? And it's becoming more and more evident, just like this, the young man who was a Marine who jumped in on the subway to save people from a crazy man. And now he's the one serving or going to court, right? I don't think his case has been heard yet, but he's the one in jail because of the work that he did to save these other people. So he becomes the bad person for helping. Have you noticed that on the news? Does anybody listen to the news or follow the news? The more you're the Good Samaritan, the more trouble you get in. Have you seen that? We've got to turn these things around. The devil's not going to win. The devil, he wants us just to be standing around. He wants us not to get involved. He wants us to shut up and not say anything. And that's why they try to censor everything, because they don't want you to talk about it. And they censor the news because they don't want us to know. But we know by the Holy Spirit. Our job is, our mission is to get out there and share the good news of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ crucified breaks the chains that are being wrapped around these people and sets them free. You know, you get a taste of it. I was talking with Wendy, and she's going to come in just a little bit to share about an event that we're doing with her. But you get addicted to the ministry. The more you see people healed, delivered, and set free, you get addicted to the ministry. Hallelujah. Because God is able. God is able. We have always been known as a church of deliverance. When we worked down in the neighborhood, I remember one day a little girl came up to me and said, "Will you deliver me from this demon? I just keep lying all the time." So yes, yes, in Jesus' name, come out in Jesus' name. She's the one that asked for the deliverance. We didn't go up to her and say, "Come out, you demon." She came up and asked us for deliverance because she had been in some church services where people were being delivered. People are delivered. You are delivered of something every time you come in this place. Every time we're in the presence of the Lord, God delivers us from something. We are not that perfect spiritual group of people that we don't think that things don't like jump on us. It's like peeling Velcro off, you know? You got to get it off. I'm not saying you're possessed in any way, but I'm telling you that there are spirits of heaviness that will try to attach themselves to you. There are spirits of victimization. Oh, I'm a victim. Poor me. Pity me. When you're in a pity party, nobody's coming to your party. You just invite the devils. You open the door. And you know what? When you open the door, you don't get to choose what devil walks through that door. When you open your screen door, you don't get to choose what bug flies in. Hallelujah. Don't go to a pity party. Don't be the victim. Jesus said we're more than conquerors. You need to call somebody and say, "Help me. I need prayer." Call somebody in the church that you know you can trust and ask them to pray for you. God will set you free. You've got to reach out so that you can reach out. Because it's all about reaching out. It's all about reaching out. And God wants us to be healed, delivered, and set free so we can reach out. But anyway, what was I talking about? We'll always have an excuse. We'll always find a reason why we can't. I was looking around my house today. My house is probably the one that gets put off the most because we do the work of the Lord. And we're here. If the house of the Lord needs something, we're here. We don't put it off because ours isn't done. No, we come do the Lord's first. I was talking with Leslie today, and she said, "You know, the Lord told me if I come in and do the Lord's work, He'll always make sure that my work, I get time to get it done." And you know, He does. But it might not be when you want it done, and it might not be on your schedule, but the Lord's going to help you get that done. Because when you take care of God's business, He takes care of everything that concerns you. And so we've got to get our priorities right as the church. So let's go on with this parable. The servant reported back to the host and told him of all their excuses. So the master became angry and said to his servant, "Go at once throughout the city and invite anyone you find, the poor, the blind, the disabled, the hurting, and the lonely, and invite them to my banquet." When the servant returned to his master, he said, "Sir, I have done what you've asked, but there's still room for more." So the master told him, "All right, go out again, and this time bring them all back with you. Persuade the beggar on the streets, the outcast, even the homeless. Urgently insist that they come in and enjoy the feast so that my house will be full." You see, God is a God of the whosoever will come. We're not to like pick and choose. Oh, this person is wealthy, or this one has a good education, or this one drives a nice car. That is not what it is about. It is about a living soul. Every person is a living soul. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He wasn't picking and choosing who He was dying for. He died for everyone. And it is wrong for us to pick and choose who we're going to approach, or who we're going to minister to, or who we would enjoy having in our church. It's quiet. Evangelism is the key for winning the lost. The Lord told Apostle Leonard when we planted the church, I shared that, to do 10 weeks of outreach in the inner city. before ever opening our doors. And we did many months of preparation as we went in, and we were in that location for over 10 years. People come, people go. It's very transient. But you know, what a joy to hear back from people that even though they moved, they found a place to go to church. Even though they're not with us, there was somebody serving the Lord. Because we're building the kingdom of God. It isn't about us. And you know what? It is not about numbers. God is not into numbers. He had 12 people with him. He's not into numbers. He's into quality. He's not into quantity. Because in the quality is the discipleship training. It's teaching. It's equipping. It's reproducing so people will go back out and share the good news of the gospel. That they will have confidence. That they will be healed. It's about the inner healing that people receive when they're in the presence of God. There's all kinds of evangelism methods. You know, it used to be revivals and church conferences would attract people, but it used to be the mall, but the malls are going to be disappearing. Our Concord Mall is being totally changed. Did you hear that? But now it's more on social media. It's more on community events, our media ministries. It's about the church working together in evangelism and setting up. We've had many community block parties. We've got an awesome property church to be able to reach out to our neighbors. We've got a gymnasium that is rarely used by our church. And that is pretty sad. I think it's sad. We can play volleyball in there. There's basketball in there. We could utilize that to reach people. It could be bait. You know, the Lord had all kinds of bait. He makes your fishers a man, and he gives you witty ideas for how to use your bait. But the message matters too, because Jesus is at the heart of the gospel. When Jesus spoke with Nicodemus, do you remember the story of Jesus and Nicodemus? It was Nick at night. Nick went to Jesus at night because he didn't want anybody to know that he was going to see Jesus. But Jesus told him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again." And you know, Nicodemus was totally confused. He's like, "How in the world can this be? How can I get back into my mother's womb?" And Jesus told him, he said, "Are you the teacher of Israel? And you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Jesus. "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven." And I'm reading from John 3. And this is what I want to share. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." As Moses lifted up the serpent, the children of Israel had to look at that serpent to be healed from the plague. They were bitten by snakes. They had to be healed, and there was no other way to be healed but if they looked up at the serpent. Moses lifted up a serpent and they were healed. That's where doctors get their symbols. Moses lifted up that serpent and Jesus was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And when we look at that, and when we believe in that, and when we trust in that, and our faith is in the resurrection power of God, we are healed. We have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. And you know, it's so easy to condemn the world when you see the mess they have themselves in. And they're digging their holes deeper. Does anyone agree? It's just digging deeper holes and deeper holes. But God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. And so we have the key for the saving of the world. So we're to preach the cross. We're to win the lost. Not judging and condemning them, but bringing them good news of the gospel. Not letting the devil tell us, no, don't talk to them. They won't listen to you. And so what if they don't? So what if they reject you? You have to get over rejection. If you struggle with rejection, you got to get over rejection. Because remember, the world hated Jesus. The world rejected Jesus. They might reject you. But if the Lord's telling you to plant that seed, then do it. Do it. Because they're not really rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. You're just about your Father's business. Amen? And the third mission of the church is to make disciples. So a disciple is a fully developed or fully devoted and developing follower of Jesus Christ. And the 12 qualities of a good disciple are go, teach, love God, love others, stand out, deny oneself, be firm in the word, fellowship with other believers, be imitators of Christ, stay devoted, remain steadfast, and live on mission. You know, we're never commanded to make Christians. We're commanded to make disciples. And Jesus said, if any man come after me, and he said it three different times, Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's all about following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about knowing the truth so the truth will set us free. It's about taking the truth to a lost and dying world, to people who are believing a lie. Satan is bombarding the media waves with lie after lie after lie so that people will reject the truth. The truth is Jesus, and it's so simple, is the answer for the world today. Jesus has a remedy for everything that we're going through, for everything you're going through, everything you're walking through. The Word will give you counsel. The Word is the foundation on which we build our lives. You know, distractions are all around us. But we've got to keep the main thing, the main thing. Not the latest craze. Not the latest hype. Not the latest story. But we've got to keep the gospel front and center. And we're looking forward to partnering with Wendy the end of August. If you can pull up Wendy's slide, she's just going to give a brief announcement about the outreach that we're doing in August. And Wendy Hoffer is her name, and she is originally from this area. The Lord directed her to move back here to help take care of her mom, Judy. And some of you would recognize Judy and know her. She's attended the church. And so she's moved back, and her heart is to evangelize. She graduated from Rodney Howard Brown School, and she's been traveling as a traveling minister for how many years? Over 11, 12 years, doing evangelism and outreaches. And the Lord put it in her heart to do one here in Elkhart and move back with her mom, and put it in her heart to contact me. And I said, yes, we will help. Can y'all say yes? We're excited about helping. And there's work to do in August, but August is a great month to work, because in August there are spiritual powers that really stir up. Just being in this territory for 27 years, we recognize seasons and months as they come and go. And August is a great time to just stomp on the enemy's head and crush his plans that he's trying to bring into the earth realm to launch forward. But I'm excited about doing an outreach in August. And if you guys don't understand the spiritual stuff, then just talk to me later. But there are things that stir in our territory. And the church is the one that was given the authority over what is stirring in the territory. We're not to back down. We're to push through it in the name of Jesus and break the power of the enemy to set people free. Hallelujah. So, Wendy, if you'll come on up, I'm going to give you the microphone. And she's going to, yes, share briefly about this event. But next week she's going to preach and share some more. So come on, you can stand right here. If you see her.
Little stool. Hallelujah, church. It is such a joy to be here. And I thank Apostle Leonard and Apostle Janet. God has such great plans for this church. I'm excited. I am really excited. It was God's plan for me to come back. And like she said, God put them on my heart. Why? Because just like John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. So the Elkhart Outreach, Love Our City Elkhart, is we're reaching out with the love of Jesus, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It is at 1 p.m. August 26th at Mountain Park at the Roosevelt Park Shelter. Next slide, please. Thank you. So we're going to have a team meeting, and I'll explain everything later. But it's August 12th at 10 a.m. It's a Saturday. And today I'll be available in the church lobby for sign-ups for the flyering as well. And I'm glad to get to know each and every one of you more. So soul-winning classes will be available each day. And designated areas for flyering have been already, we've mapped them out. The Lord's given me strategies, and I just follow the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost has full control of this. This is God's outreach. It's not my outreach. It's God's outreach, and it's God who does the work. Hallelujah. So God is the head, and the Holy Spirit has full control. But I just want to thank you all in advance for your willingness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I would do this for one. You know, not one would perish, but that all would come to the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And it is all about Jesus. So we're here to celebrate Jesus with this as well. So anyway, I just want to thank you, because I know that we'll see lives changed, saved, healed, and delivered. And God does miracles today. So I'm really excited. And God is so good. And like I said, he's got great plans. He's got great plans. So hallelujah. Thank you for standing with us in Jesus' name.
Amen. So if you are interested in helping, there are flyers, Love Our City, and it shares some of what we'll be doing. But the McNaughton Park and the Roosevelt Park Shelter is the band shelter. We'll be in the band shelter, plus we'll have the shelter right next to it. So looking forward to this and looking forward to Wendy preaching next week and sharing more about it. And if you're interested in signing up, you want more information, she can send it to you. Just give her your name and email and she'll be in contact with you.